page Nun Ches. The Mechaber that Tzadik is taking us very, very gently through a lot of the Choshech that we grew up in, that we've lost the ability to understand and to speak the Svas on the Neshama, the language of the Neshama. And that's what we're learning about. And he always begins each parak, each section, he begins to ibechazel, to review. Hamad l'shtei nunches, hamad l'shtei nekudas binyan tiva shal neshom. We spoke about two nekudas regarding the nature of the neshom. Ha'achas, sha'a neshama chashe es arachnias. The first, that the neshama, what the neshama feels is rochnias. What it feels and what it is comfortable with is rochnias, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu kimitzias. It senses rochnias and the Rabbi Shalom not like we do. We who are so bound to our physical bodies and to a certain way of looking at reality, we see the table and we see the drinks, we see each other as mitzias. This is the mitzias. And the Rabbi Shalom is an idea. Somewhere, somehow, there's a God. That's how we look at the world. But the emes is, it's Nailam Hafuch, like we learned last week. It's the truth is that it's the reverse. And the neshama knows the truth. And the neshama senses the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Metzius. Not an idea, not a concept, but as reality. The seichel we learn, the mind, the intellect, it knows there's a God. But that knowledge is exactly that. It's something which is part of a way of thinking. But the mind, the intellect, doesn't feel the Rabbeinu Shlalom as a mitzias. It just knows that there's a God. It doesn't feel that there's a God. That's why there's so many things that we know are right and are true and are good, and yet b'shas ma'isa it's hard for us to live according to what we know, because our knowledge of the Rebbeinu Shalom, our knowledge of the truth of the Rebbeinu Shalom, is something that it's a thought, but it's not a hergish, a chush. It's not something that we feel, and that's what we're learning, how to feel the Rebbeinu Shalom. Metzias. Vashniya, the second point that we learned is that the neshama understands and it connects to those things that are absolutely clear. Therefore we learn that in order to be ma'ira the neshama, which is the tachlis of our lives, in order for us to be ma'ira, to awaken the neshama, these two conditions must be fulfilled. Gracious, to begin with. Al ha'odam lahavre la'atzmai at kama shenitan shayidiyas halalu heimitziyas bur v'kayemis. The first thing is that a person has to work very hard to come to that point where his Yiddishkeit is not just something that he knows, but it's something which he's chash, that he feels, which we spoke about and we'll talk a lot more about, as a real mitzias, as something which is absolutely real. You remember we spoke about that. That if you tell a person, hey, there's $100 on the floor, I think you could use that. He has no problem understanding that. He understands because he knows he could use $100. He knows what $100 is, and he appreciates that. That's the language that he understands. But the neshama understands the language of clarity, of Olam Bararis, which we spoke about. When something is unclear to a person, so even though you say it to him 1,000 times, it's not clear. He doesn't see it as a mitzias. The $100 you see is a mitzias. But when someone tells you that there's a din v'cheshbon, you're doing an aver, you're saying a word of lashon hara, it's not a mitzias. It's not clear. So we have to find a way for our Yiddishkeit to become so clear that the neshama hears it and it makes a difference in our lives. L'mashal, b'nekudah she'es kanan la'el, shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu nemar avinu ata. So the last thing we were learning at the end last week was that we say this all the time in davening. We said it this morning. Avinu makinu avinu ata. We said by after v'hu rachum. Avinu makinu avinu ata. Rabbi Shalom, you're our father. But we grow up always feeling that my father is the father that I know of, what they call my biological father, the father that I see, the father that I know, the father that raised me. What does it mean when we say Avinu Ata, that the Rebbeinu Shlomo is my father? It's an idea. And because of that, as long as it's an idea, it's not mashpi in our lives. It doesn't change our lives. But he says, the truth is, Kishem Shel Adam Yesh Av Gashmi, Umakira Heitev, we're going to learn to bring ourselves to a point. But the same way that a person knows, and not just knows intellectually that I have a father, but knows his father, recognizes him, feels his presence. Kach gam beruchni is olav lehizboini bedover ulagil hakar ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu loy pachas abish lo miyoviv hagashmi. That when we call Hashem our Father, it's not any drop less, not any drop less, it's much more. But it's not any drop less than my Father here in this world. Hein amru chazal shleish ha-shutfim yesh ba'adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu va'ave ve'imai. So all the rabbis give speeches about that. And everybody knows that Gemara, that there are three partners in each person, the Rebbeinu Shlom and the father and the mother. So a person knows his parents. The parents are responsible for giving him his body. The Rebbeinu Shlom is not less of a father. The shutfus of the Rebbeinu Shlom is the ikka shutfus. It is nefech by nishmas chaim, that the Rebbeinu Shlom infused in each and every one of us a living soul. Haguf makiris of agash mishalei. The body recognizes his biological father. And so too, the neshama must recognize who is the of haruchani, the father of the neshama. And the neshama does recognize. Elamai, what's the problem? Haneshama behelen. Our problem is that the neshama is in this state of concealment, of being hidden. Kedei la'oiru legalis is haneshama. In order to be megala, to reveal, and to be ma'ira, that part of us that recognizes that the Rebbeinu Shlom is our father. Not just thinks or talks about it, but mamish feels that the Rebbeinu Shlom is our father. To be ma'ira that, tzarech adam lanasas l'skarev l'hakarish ha'av haruchani b'diyuk ma'av ha'gashmi. We have to work harder and harder in understanding this and feeling this, that our father, the Rebbeinu Shlom, is no less than avagashmi. Hatnai hasheni anidrus kedei la'iris haneshama hu. The second tnai, in order to be ma'ir than neshama, is she'adam lo yiyah bebchinas shtuki. What does it mean, halachia shtuki? Is that you don't know who the father is. Safik shenideya mihu aviv. Safik shenideya mihu aviv. A person, God forbid, one of the worst things is for a child not to know who his father is, to be mesupik. To be mesupik. There was a maisa by one of the tzaddikim, Reb Lezer, the son of the Noam HaLamalach. The son of the Noam HaLamalach went to visit one of the big tzaddikim, I don't remember which tzaddik. And by the tish of that tzaddik, by the table, the son of the Noam HaLamalach, Shol Shidus, and he was the biggest Irish, and the son of the Noam HaLamalach, Reb Eliezer, he gave a krech and says, "Oi, Tata." He said, "Father, oh Father," to Rebbeinu Shlom. So I don't remember which tzaddik it was who was hearing the tish. So the tzaddik said to him, "How do you know he's your father?" So he didn't answer. He was very taken aback by that. He didn't answer. So when he came back to his father, to Noam HaLamalach, Noam HaLamalach said, "Well, what was by the tzaddik? What did you see?" It was the chayzer. "What did you see by the tzaddik?" So he told him all different things, and he said, "Nope." "And did he ask you something?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "By Hashem Shidus, he asked me. I gave a krech tate, and the tzaddik asked me, 'How do you know he's your father?' And the Nemelcha says, 'You knew.' So what did you answer?" He said, "I didn't know. I didn't know what to answer." said the opposite. He should have answered that it says in Pasuk, Sha'al Avicha V'Yageidcha Zekenecha V'Yemelach. Sha'al Avicha means, literally means, ask your father, he will tell you. But the word Sha'al also means to borrow. So he says, even at that moment, you can't answer the 100% to know how the Baruch Shem is your father, but you could certainly borrow him as a father. Sha'al Avicha. You could take a loan of the Baruch Shem to be your father. Every year, even if it's not clear to him that the Baruch Shem is his father, he says, Sha'al Avicha. Borrow him as a father. You could rent the Baruch Shalom for that time. And to Machazik his son. What does that mean? And I remember Machazik such an Indian. It means that in life, it's not always clear to us. Sometimes we're in this Bechin of a Shtuki, of a kid that doesn't know who his father is. It's a terrible, terrible thing not to know where you come from, who you are. Anybody that has that Indian in life suffers from it terribly. There are some people that I've met over the years that the father left them when they were babies or children, and they go their whole lives to try to find out who their father is. And if you ask them, what's the difference? They're very nice people. They raised you, right? They adopted. Such nice people. You love them. I love them. Your father left you when you were a baby. So what do you so leave it? Yeah. It's very rare that they'll leave that. I have to find out who my father is. So that's only a muscle. The father that we have in this world is only a muscle for the father, the Avinu Shebashamayim, who is our father. And the physical father is a muscle. It's a taste of what it means. The Baruch Shalom's Avinu Ata, that the Baruch Shalom's our father. And the person, a person who never met his father, is looking his whole life that I want to know my father. And we're already, look at us, we're already 30, 40, 50 years old, and the Baruch Shalom is our father, and we say it 1,000 times, he's our father, and we don't even recognize to know and to find out and to have his kashrus to our father. So when a person lives in this way, like a shtuki, a suffix, shenideh mihu aviv, like it says, we're coming to the Parsha Zachar soon, to the Indian of Purim of Amalek, so you know that Amalek brought entire lives is suffix. The Gematria of Amalek, everybody knows, is suffix. What's the suffix of Amalek? So everybody knows that he said, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu am'ayin, right? Where's the Baruch Shalom? Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu. So Rashi brings on Marshall that the father's carrying his son, right? The father's carrying the son and the whole way, and the son sitting on his father's shoulders, and the father says, and the kid says, Where's my father? I'm the supid. Where my father is. So the father, Rashi brings from Chazal, what does the father do? He throws the kid away, and he says, you want to know where's your father? Right? Chasu Shalom, that shouldn't happen to us, such a thing to be thrown away. But a person's mesupik, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu am'ayin, is the Rabbi Shalom. That suffix, she'en yedeya mihu aviv, the suffix is, he doesn't know who his father is. And I've told that to these people now who suffer from this. There are people, there's a person that was telling me about all the terrible, terrible things that her father did to her as a child. Terrible, terrible. It's hard to believe it's a thing. We talked about this last week. This Indian. But I was telling you that, and she always tries again that her father should love her. And every time she tries, this is part of the mentality of an abused child, never. Every time she tries, so he looks, makes it look like a little bit, like it's going to be maybe, and then she gets worse than ever before. Worse. So I said to her that the only way that you, like we spoke about last week, the only way that you could be able to go on with your life is to stop looking for that father. Lazim. Look for your other father. That's the only way you could do it. Because your other father will never do that to you. There's no such thing. But when a person lives in this suffix, usually a kid knows who his father is. It's clear to him who his father is. This is our avodah, and we're doing it throughout the sefer more and more. The avodah is that it should be the same thing in ruchnius. And the kudush is over aviv, that when I speak about avinu shebeshamayim, avinu ata, it's not something, an idea, a concept, but it's mamish avinu ata. It's so clear. The whole avodah, Rabbi said, this time of the year, our whole avodah, during this time we come into this month of Purim, of Mechias HaMalik, the whole avodah is to do whatever we can to eliminate this suffix, the suffix of whether the Baruch Shalom is mamish our father or not. That we shouldn't be Gashvit Shtukim. We shouldn't be without a father. It's the whole avodah. Because the holy Nev HaMalik is to say, he's not our father. He's not our father. And the whole avoda of Purim, those that learn a little bit the Svarma Kedoshim, especially the Kabbalists from know that the Indian of Yisoid Abba and Mordechai, not talking about it, what it means in Kabbalah, but the whole Indian, the whole avoda of this time is to be Megala, that the Baruch Shem is our father. It says in the Megillah about Esther, Ein La'av Ve'Aim, she didn't have Nebuch parents. The Oymen is Hadassah, and Mordechai took care of her. Mordechai became her father, right? He took the place of her father, Ke'en La'ar Ve'em. And the whole Avoida of Megillus Esther and of Purim at this time is to be Mechazik, that Mitzias. Who brought the Geula of Purim? Davka, a woman who had no father and mother in this world. She brought the Nes of Purim, came through Esther. How the she was, why did the nays come Davka in such a way? Because the whole Lashon Hara of Amalek is to say that a Yid, a Jew, you have no parents. A person sees that his parents are not who he thought they were, God forbid. And Amalek says, you don't have anything else. And the Baruch Shalom says, I'm your father. I'm your father. And the holy Malik is, no, you don't have a father. So Esther Malka Davka was the one who brought about the Geula. She brought about the Geula to say like this, is that there are times in life where a person sees that he can't have a Yeshua from his father and mother. Like Esther Malka, she didn't have a father and mother. But that's the Ikka father that a person has. Is the Baruch Shalom. Those people who don't have a father or mother, God forbid, they have that choice of either, they feel the choice, all of us have the same choice. But they can't live with the suffix. And that's the whole Indian of Amalek is suffix. Is he your father, is he not your father? Do you have a father, you don't have a father? So Esther Malka is Ein La'av Ve'Aim. And she's Megala, that even when you have no father or mother in this world, you have a father. That's the Kegili of Purim, is that you have a father. Mela, no matter what a person goes through, he could be besimcha. And even though after Purim, Zakat, the Gemara says, Anam, Avda Achashverosh, and we remained subjects to Achashverosh, anything that a person has in life he could deal with, as long as he knows 100% for sure that he has a father. 100% that I have a father. No matter what happens to me, I have a father. And this beer is the whole Indian of Purim, which we see in the Kabbalah Svarim, the whole Indian of Purim is the Mavara, this Nakuda. That Yeshli Abba, I have a father. No matter what is with this world, that I have a father. Sometimes for those people who have, Baruch Hashem, healthy fathers who are wonderful people, it's harder to come to this. Because they don't have to, they feel they're satisfied with the father they have. And I see him. What I have to worry about, the father that I don't see. I like my father here. I don't have to think about the one that I don't see, and the one that I see is easier to deal with. When you have a father that you see, and he's not easy to deal with, and you start to think about the other father. But that's how it is in life. That's the avodah of a person. But this nakuda of Aviv, Sichli as Brulei Ma'id, Ima Behirus Leitiyah B'Madrega Kazu, if it's not clear, if this is not clear, then you won't be able to be ma'ira the neshama, because the one who's responsible for that part of you is responsible for everything, but that the one who is makusha to that part of us is the Baruch Shalom, is the neshama. So he says, "B'dvarim halo page nun tes." Midvarim halolu biranu im elu nakudas. Namshich, we're going to continue with these nakudas. And the nasa legalis is on the neshama. Have to try to be megala the neshama. The shtamish rak the dvarim shem pshutim biyaseh. Remember, we have to stick to things that are very, very simple. Pshutim biyaseh. Like the shayfer. Doesn't. Simple. Pshutim biyaseh. Claim a dvarim shahaseich liyadeh aysam. But the seichel knows. Kakosi vidata hayoim. Shalakala pachas hachelik hashitchi shabahem yadu lakol echad ve'echad. Things that are simple, but the heart doesn't feel yet. Any complicated thing that we talk about in learning, he said that's a chelik of learning, and that's very chashuv. But in order to be ma'ir within ourselves, it's not a shiur. It's not a question of some fancy idea and all kinds of svarim and all kinds of complicated things. That's not it. That's learning. That's good. And maybe be mechazik things, but that's not to be the ikar haneshama. That nakuda is dvarim pshutim, simple. Loi besug nakuda gazu tzarich l'shtamish. He says, look, and he explains to us in a simple way. Those things that a person can taste, it's real to him, he likes to go over it many, many times. He says, Ludugma, for instance, Chushatam, this ability for a person to taste something, which is a very amazing thing. Let's say there's a certain food that a person likes to eat. Even though you had this food again, and you had it another time, again and again, there's no chiddush in this. My children, whenever there's ice cream, they always ask me, Daddy, why don't you try to have this? You know, they have different flavors, and I only have chocolate. And they say, Daddy, why don't you try these other flavors? They're very good. I said, oh, I like chocolate, and that's fine with me. I only want chocolate. So that Hanoah that a person has from the food that he likes, that he's familiar with, that if his wife doesn't have it on the Shabbos table, and she decides that he's going to try this Shabbos, you know, an asparagus kugel or something, chas v'shalom, right? And you said, Hanoah, for 50 years I'm having potato kugel, it was fine. So it could throw your whole Shabbos off. The whole Shabbos is not, whatever it happens, you know, it happens that, you know, someone says, that there's no kugel. So what happened to the kugel? So what happened to the chrein? So then the kids look at each other. I thought you bought it. No, you said you're buying it. And you sit there, you say, there's no chrein. So they say, the kids say, Dad, you have chrein every single Shabbos your whole life. So the Shabbos you don't have chrein. It's not so pushy. It's every Shabbos I have chrein. I like that. And that's dafka because I chassed it over many times that I like it. It's the nature of a person that what he's most familiar with, and what that he tastes and he knows it's pasha to him, and no surprises. He likes again and again and again. It's true there's an inyan of ischachus to try something new, it's exciting. But the ikke hano that a person has, not about the moment of a chiddush, but the ikke hano that a person has be'emes is when he's familiar and he likes that taste and he comes back to it. He says, He has a new hanah from the fish. Even though it's the same fish, but he has a new hanah from it. That's why I once spoke about it in shul years ago, that the pashtus in the Bach, when he talks about the way he learns Rambam in the din of Shalach Manas. The ikke din of Shalach Manas is not to send to people that you don't know. Here in America, it became just like you invite people to your wedding that you never met, or you once met, you know, online in the bakery, and you say, "How are you? I'm okay. Want to come to my chasna?" Making a chasna, people send, you know, 800 people, thousands of people to chasna. So people now also Shalach Manas. People think that the ikke Shalach Manas is to make new friends. It's not true. The Bach says that the Ikka Shalach Manas is to send to the people that you already are friends with. Look in the Bach, over there in the Torah. Te'ikke in Yisroch Manas is not to make new friends, but to be mechadish and mechazik the old friendships. In other words, to find a new tam in an old friend. Just like the Indian drinking wine on Purim wine, the older it is, the better it is. New wine is not a good thing. Old wine is good. The Iker is with the same brother, the same sister, the same parents, the same Yedidim that I have, to send them a reminder how much I care for them, the Shulchan Manas. Not a new thing. Because the Iker Tam of Chai Vishal Sumi Bapuri is Adal Yada. The Iker Hano, the Iker Oinig is not a new friend. The Iker Oinig is a new Tam in an old friend, you understand? A new Tam in an old friend. That's the Iker Simcha that a person has in life. A new taste in an old friend. By the street, so a person, they get married like chayes, and then after 2-3 weeks they finish with this chay, and they want a new chay, and they're always looking for chedush, something new. The Torah's megalotas that the ikke tam and the ikke hano that a person has is davke a new tam with the same person. It's conscious, but to the same person. And that's the whole avoid of Taras Mishpacha, which we're not going to talk about that inyan now. But that's the whole inyan of Ahava. Not new people. Old people, but with a Nayita. That's the inyan of Shulchmanis. That's what the Bachra, he doesn't say over the Hazma, but he says. He learns Pshat like that in the Rambam. But there's the Ikemitzu of Shulchmanis Ishtereya. It says, Vahavta Racha Kamecha, says in Chumash. It doesn't say Vahavta Yisrael Kamecha. The hardest people to be mekayem the mitzvah ahavas Yisrael are the ones you live with all the time. To be mechazik, to be mechadish that ahava. And when a person lives that way, so then he finds a new tam, a new taste, each time. So it's the same fish and the same chayim yobis, chanayi tam, it's a different tam. That was the fish of Shabbos Pashas Yisrael. And tomorrow night's the fish from Pashas Mishpatim, it's a different thing. It's a different fish. It's the same fish, but I'm chazing over the naya tam, the new tam. It's the whole Indian of Purim. That's the whole Indian of Purim is like that. It's the whole Indian of Purim. That we'll talk. There's more to talk about. That's the Indian of Purim. So he says, Adam Yochel, Achzik Zman Musim Ba'isa Aichel. It's the same food every week, and each week it's mahanim. He has pleasure from it. Kach gam adam shashomei shir. So you see this when it comes to music also. It's fun to hear a new song, a new niggun. But kach gam adam shashomei shir v'ashir nagel nishmasay. When does a song really, really have the ability to touch your neshama? When it's a niggun that really reaches in the neshama, yochel l'shomei pam for oid pam, you could hear the niggun 1,000 times, over and over. Other rabbi, the more you hear the niggun, the more it gives you. The more it gives you. That's another thing you'll see that in America, when they're singing a song, tum nigunim, so they'll change the niggun after 5 minutes. I remember it was such a chiddush to me when I was a boy. There was a rebbe that we had. There was a stal and a chassid. And he took us to the Stalin of his Medrash in Borough Park. And I was very in the spoil. It was Simchas Beis HaShaiva. And it's not like now it's a big production. It was a little, it was like this, but packed with happy Jews. And they were singing a niggun, the same niggun, for like 2 hours. The whole time there was the same niggun. And you know, we're not used to that. Because you grew up in America, so this, you know, you change stations, you change channels, you change songs, you change naguna. No. And here, our son is spoiled from that. And not only that, but it seemed to me, and that's what it was, that the instructions, the excitement was more as the niggun went weiter. It was more. Right? Because this is the truth. But when something touches you in the shaman, you don't need anything else. afila asaras palmim, many, could be many times. Vav shehiklata to oisai kalates, and you record it, it's on a tape. Vechidushem enim ischadshem yapam azul apam haba. And you listen to the tape, and there's nothing new on the tape. It's the same tape. Like when you're hearing somebody singing the nigga, you say, oh, it's a little bit different. This guy sings different than that guy. You're hearing the same sing, the same menagin, on the same tape, and you could hear it over and over again. Avokeven shan nefesh is chaber l'dvarim. The neshama has a hanad davke from familiarity and from pashtus. That's what the neshama loves. Not something, not everything new. Here, heves is so. He explains, Royim on the way, if I receive from this, Shagam begashmi is mezgal and nakuda hapshuta. That even when it comes to physical things, a piece of fish, a niggun, even in gashmis, it's mezgal and nakuda hapshuta, shehu chelka shal neshama, shadvarim shadam nena mihem, umaitz behem tam. That when there's something that your neshama finds a tam that your neshama likes, not just your body, when something that your neshama likes, your neshama enjoys, it doesn't have to be fancy or different or new. The same thing, pashtus. I want the same thing again. Pam acha pam. And it never gets sick of it. Never gets sick. It's always nice. It's always good. It's always exciting. It doesn't get sick of it. When the neshama has hanav from something, the pashtus. She says, "Kadesh Adam Yitzer." Lachsa oid pam va oid pam al davar mesuyim. When a person wants to chazer something over, to review something one time and another time, so she is kind by her pasuk, then it has to be tamu'u ki toiv Hashem. Where it says in pasuk, taste and you will see that the Rebbe Shalom is good. In other words, when you really like fish, and the more you taste it, that's good, right? Again and again and again. And we have to ask ourselves, do we feel that way when it comes to our avodas Hashem? When it comes to learning? When it comes to davening? That a person should walk into shul each day. And when you say Ashrei, even though you said the same Ashrei 10,000 times, but that Ashrei is so geshmak. The Ashrei is, you want to say, give me more. I don't want that Ashrei to go quickly. You know, you have a food that you like. Whatever it is, you have a good chocolate milkshake, something like that. You really like it. So, you know, when you see a guest at the bottom of the cup, you have a chalisha zadaz. I know, it's so good. It's chaval, it's finishing. You feel that way about Ashrei and your stomach? Ah, it's so delicious. That's what the tzaddikim daven. It's hard for them to part from your stomach. So you can say, what's the, you had your stomach yesterday, you had it the day before, you're going to have it tomorrow, what are you? So you said to say, tell somebody you had yesterday a milkshake, you have tomorrow a milkshake. What are you getting? So now, given you have anything left in this one, when you taste how good something is, you don't want to let it go. So he says, so in order that a yid should be able to feel something when he says, Avinu ata, Avi ata, you're my father, you're my father, you're my father. It has to be something that he enjoys the taste. Kishu magish betamu ru'u ki toiv Hashem. Once you have that taste, right? We're going to learn how to develop the taste. Once you have that taste, ki toiv Hashem, that there's nothing better in the world than the Rebbe Shalom. There's nothing that's as delicious as a piece of Torah, as a piece of tefillah, as a mitzvah. There's nothing that's better than the Rebbe Shalom. Ozli yigarve in yinzem yikol meichel. It won't be anything less to you. Like I told the Maisa about that Sadiq. Sadiq it was. That, you know, Yontif, we spoke of this a few weeks ago, that Yontif, this is a machloikis, but Yontif is Kula Lashem, Chasi Lachem, Chasi Lashem, right? So we paskin that Yontif is Chasi Lachem, Chasi Lashem, Chasi Lachem. It means half the day of Yontif we spend with davening and learning, and half we spend with eating and resting and so on. So there was a tzaddik that he was davening on Yontif. Davening didn't finish until around 2:30, and they started like 6 in the morning, and it finished 2:30 in the afternoon. At that time we were able to have eaten twice and had 3 naps and already had 4 arguments, right? He just finished davening 2:30, and the Eilum was, you know, the Eilum was already hungry. So the tzaddik, when he took off the talis from his head and he said, "No, Rabbi Shalom, now I finished the chatzi lachem. I have to go do the chatzi lachem." Chatzi lachem was the davening was chatzi lachem. It was so delicious to me. Now you want me to go have something to eat? Okay, you told me to go eat, I'll go eat. It's chatzi lachem, I'll go eat. We're not masik what that means. That the davening should be such an anah, not like after Yom Kippur, when did you finish? When did you finish davening? Can you imagine asking the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh such a thing? You come the day after Yom Kippur, and the Baal Shem Tov says to you, "Oh, I had such a wonderful Yom Kippur." You say to him, "Yeah, Taka, when did you finish?" Say to the Baal Shem Tov such a thing, "When did you finish? How long did you have a break?" He looked at you, oh, he's out of space. When the Baal Shem Tov said, "I had a good Yom Kippur," it meant every word. It was Tamu Uki Tov Hashem. And it's so hard for us, because if you don't develop the taste, so then you're just waiting. How can I get out of shul? How can I get out of the shir? How can I get away from this inyan? So people try to go daven in this place or that place, how they can get as little ruchnis as possible. And then to be yitzik, because they don't want to be in trouble, so they want to be yitzik, but not to get more ruchnis. Not. So he says, Shairish on the kudahu, shakol's man shin shmasa shul ha'adam ain't a begoli. He says, as long as your neshama is not the goli, as long as you're not speaking the language of the neshama, you're not talking in that way that the neshama enjoys, that the neshama feels, it's hard for you to feel the good taste. It's hard for you to have a good taste. That's why we worry so much about the children, that the children should have a good taste from Yiddishkeit. Should taste good. That when they think about Yiddishkeit, they think about something that tastes good. When they started off by the upshare, and so you gave the child an olive base and you told him to take the honey, to look off the honey from the olive, and we daven that the Baruch Shem should help, that the olive should always be so sweet to you the way that it is this second. Baharav na Hashem Elokeinu. It should be sweet. That it should have a good time. If a person's Yiddishkeit is without a time, and it's just a hergel, it's just that he has to, so that he can't feel Tamu Kitay Rasha. And even though most of us can sometimes taste how good it is to be a Jew, but it's very rare. It's only once in a while. So it comes hard for us. And that's why imagine asking the Baal Shem Tov a question like that too. Ask the Baal Shem Tov, "Rabbi, wouldn't it be better if each day the rabbis would have given us new davening, different davening, because I'm so tired of this ashram?" They also wouldn't be masik. Wouldn't be masik what that means. A little bit, I was saying this, I said this yesterday to my wife, that the Einik Lech were over the day before, Baruch Hashem, they spent a couple of hours in the house, because my daughter had to go to take care of something, and then my wife said that they're coming today again. They're coming. I felt such an excitement when she told me that the Eniklich are coming. Remember that with your own children, all the excitement is always, once they get old enough to talk back, all the excitement is mixed in with also all kinds of peklach. Lots and lots and lots of them. But with the Eniklich, there's no peklach, right? It's tamu uki toif, mamish. So I had such a hisrakshus when she told me they're coming, and I said to her, I said to this yesterday, I had this conversation. I said to her that every time that the Einik Lech come and I see them, to me it's with the simcha of like just seeing them the first time, and that excitement when I hear them coming into the house and the car pulling up, and my daughter, the car door closing. And I think it's that it's them, it's that they're coming. So such his chachas, that's a marshal of how a tzaddik feels when he comes to shul each morning. Each of them is an ashrei coming up. In 10 seconds, there's going to be an ashrei coming through the door. In another minute or two, there's going to be a yishtabach coming through. comes to a yontiv, comes to a yontiv. Listen, Rabbi Yisai, one of the chevron shul gave this to me this morning just to make me happy. So I have to share it with my friends. I'm not the only one that's going to be miserable today. You're also going to be miserable. Listen to this. And I don't mean this by any way, personal chalila, but this is an update. February 21st, is that the, oh, that's yesterday, that was Tuesday. He says, here, for those of you that want to know about this, as many as 37,000 hotel rooms will be used by guests spending Passover in hotels around the world, representing more than 90,000 people, a kosher catering source told Kosher Today. Must be some kosher days of website, I don't know. Last year, an estimated 33,000. So it's up, Baruch Hashem, 4,000 more hotels were used in what some claimed is a $1 billion industry. $1 billion Yidden are spending on hotels. So let's say some of that is because there are older grandparents or whatever that can't, I don't know, it's easy for them. But it's not all, listen. $1 billion industry. The person can't be home because cleaning for Pesach is a tircha. Nacha Pesach, I had it already. Nacha Pesach. And not only that. So you'd say, so where are they going? Where are Jews spending $1 billion? $1 billion, that $1 billion if we would just drop it over a flat, the Shabbat Park of Muncie, our neighborhoods, right? All the Moises won't have to send any Mishalachim that whole year. For sure, right? Take $1 billion in a bag and drop it over Bnei Brak and Yerushalayim. All the poor people, everybody with the Moises will have what to eat and will have what to learn and will have everything they need. I don't know numbers, right? But that's but that's not even on the chart, $1 billion. That's off the chart, right? But $1 billion, Mestama could feed the whole Yerushalayim nice, right? The whole Bnei Brak with the yeshiva. It's a lot of money, $1 billion. So, $1 billion industry. But so you'd say, where are they going? So many people for Pesach. Listen, so there's a website, this is more than 125. But the actual number, say, industry experts, is people that are called industry experts. In other words, there's a mitzvah. There's an industry that's called going away for Pesach. It's called an industry. Industry experts. It's well over 250 hotels, including some of the world's most luxurious hotel properties, only the best for our people. In Israel alone, there are as many as 75 hotels catering to Passover businesses. Another website, www.kosherforpassover.com, lists three new programs in Fairmont resorts, including Mayakoba Resort in Mexico, the Jews that want to go to Mexico for Pesach. As well, of course, as in Florida and Arizona, those are old favorites. Then there's also the Hyatt Dorado Beach Resort in Puerto Rico. It's a new site. These are new sites. Other sites, listen, Chile has joined the Passover crowd. Programs in Santiago and Patagonia. Santiago, hope you had. Patagonia, I never even heard of Patagonia. I never heard there's a Patagonia roof. I never heard. Only in San Diego to have Eden, I know. In Patagonia, the Jews that they're looking at this www.com and they're looking for where to Pesach. Patagonia, that sounds nice. We're going to go to Patagonia. We never went to Patagonia for Pesach. They come back and tell everybody he went to Patagonia. Pesach, we fresh on chametz, the whole Pesach over there, and all these hotels which are chametz. We fresh on all the chametz they ate in these hotels. Can't make a hotel kosher with Pesach like that. The way that they say, it's not true. Anybody that ever worked in Hashgach knows it's not true. It's fresh on chametz, the whole Pesach. And where did it come from? How come our parents and grandparents? So the Torah says they couldn't afford it, and Jews now could afford to go. It's not so pashut. The process that the neshama can hear is that people have had it with Pesach. It's always gespielt. They had it. For thousands of years, Pesach was exciting, was new. We grew up in the house. We grew up in the house like you, many of you grew up, and maybe some of you are so young you don't remember. But those are a little bit older, remember the smells of Pesach. And we still have it, and my children have it, what it means. And watching, and when my father would be in the kitchen, there's something that my father would sit there with a Pesach picker grinder. You know, those metal grinders, and there's a certain look to Pesach, and the smells of Pesach, and all of that. But to us as children, was so exciting, and even now it's exciting. And that there are children that grew up telling me that, there's somebody that came to tell me last year, 2 years ago, a very, very chashev boy. He said that he never once in his life had Pesach in the house. Not once in his life did he ever have Pesach. Always in hotels. You can go to Turkey. They had Pesach last year in Egypt. I didn't check the website. You can go to Pesach in Egypt. You could ask Gukasha. The whole idea of Pesach was to take us out of Egypt. Now you can go Pesach. You could say, "Ilu Haitzik Adosh Baruch Hu Zaveinu." No, isn't it an amazing thing? Anu Ubenenu Ubenei Benenu. For thousands of years, the Anu Ubenenu Ubenei Benenu were out of Egypt, and now the Benei Benenu came back to Mitzrayim to give Nachas Ruach to the Zaydis and Babis and Shemayim, and my ankle is making Pesach in Cairo. But you can go visit the pyramids. It was advertised last year in the newspaper to be Pesach and Mitzrayim. They didn't even realize the irony of it. That any other place in the world, no, you make a Pesach. They're making in Turkey Pesach. It's in the newspaper in Hamadiyah yesterday. My wife showed me in Turkey they make. Why would somebody want to go to Turkey? No, the Mishnah Sacham is buried over there in his temple. That's why he's going. They're tzaddikim, they're buried there. But for that, they're going. So what's the Indian to make? Because it's all, no, there's no tamu ki toiv Hashem. The taste of being a Jew, the geshmak of being a Jew, is Pesach, the same Pesach. No, they have to go to places, and they advertise, all the advertisements in that one in Turkey yesterday, it said, a new exotic site for Pesach. New exotic. Last year, I think they're not going to have it again this year. I didn't see it so far. Last year, some of you remember, there was in the newspaper, a cartoon of what your Pesach could be like at home, and they show people yelling and arguing and fighting, and their wife is all angry and dirty cleaning on her knees, of what Pesach could really be like, and then they show them sitting on the beach, like in Palm Springs, sipping drinks, and the children playing on the beach. It is, to me, is like a vicious of taking away the Baruch Shalom's Yom Tov and making it like the Chayzik of the Torah, making Chayzik of Moshe Rabbeinu. The whole thing is to make Chayzik of the Torah. Maybe you want to say you're too lazy or you're overwhelmed and you don't want to make Pesach. You want to make some cockamamie excuse. You know, we have to. Otherwise, we can't get together. We all had ages how Jews can get together. Now there's a new age, $1 billion. But to go show that the Pesach in the house is a tircha. Ma ha'avoida zayis lachem. But one of the tzaddikim, Rav Moshe Lipsasov, said that that's when a Jew says it's too hard to make ready for Pesach. Ma ha'avoida zayis lachem. That's the question of the Rosh and the Haggadah. Why are you working so hard to get ready for Pesach? Ma ha'avoida zayis lachem. And you could ask my wife. Every year I get at least 6 or 7 calls from these different places, these hotels, for me to come to Scotland residence for Pesach. And I said, thank you very much. So he says to me, every time they say the same thing, but you know, we have a very nice company. I said, no, thank you. He says, so we'll pay you $5,000. So I said, if you would pay me $5 million, I wouldn't come to. That's what I tell them. Pesach's not for sale. Pesach's not for sale. So my kids say, Daddy, well, oh. Can we talk about this a little bit? You know, Pesach's not for sale. My wife, Baruch Hashem, left. She's not even a shiloh. Even though she's the one that has to work hardest. It's not even a shiloh. In America, producing a lot of the young women, they're coming out from the seminaries. After learning 500 malbims, they're coming out from the seminaries. They still can't make a Pesach. They can't make it. It's too overwhelming for them. Too overwhelming. Stares their aerobic schedule. They can't make it they can't make it Pesach. And you'll forgive me for being cynical, but the sadness over the loss of how Yom Tov is being taken away from us. My daughter told me, it was advertised in the newspaper this week, Purim in a hotel also. This you didn't hear, right? I told you something new. There's Purim in hotels now. What's the idea? It says we'll make you a Suda, and we're going to have Simcha, and they're hiring people like Sonin Rabachanis to make jokes. To make simcha, to make leibedik. Not Purim in your house, not Purim with your family, not Purim with your friends from your shul, from your block. Go to a hotel with a bunch of strangers, and they hire somebody to make funny jokes, comedians, and make a suda. You don't have to worry about a Purim suda. You don't have to worry about a Purim suda. And the kawaisi izai sveisi shofel be'enai. The biggest chus that a Jew has is to clean up vomit from yeshiva barachman Purim. The biggest schus. You know what that's worth in Shemayim? You know what that is in Shemayim? To clean up after Purim Suda? The biggest schus of the whole year? That a Jew cleans up, that everything is spilled on the floor, and there's a mess. what it means to the schusim that a yid has the clean for Purim after Purim, tifa Pesach. But it's not. But if a Jew doesn't have a taste for the Bayis Shalom, then everything is hard. It's hard for me. I can't. It's hard for me. It's hard. The husbands, they want to have Pesach. They always tell me, the husbands, what am I going to do? My wife, if I'm going, I'm going to Shalom Bayis, Shalom Bayis. The magic word, Shalom Bayis. Then you can't do it. Shalom Bayis. Shalom Bayis, then you can't talk about it anymore. The whole door, the whole generation is getting fakifed, is getting crazy with this inyan. There are women that are complaining that how come, her husband's so good to her, he takes her for Pesach, and I still have to be here. This is what's going on. Year after year, it's getting more confusing. And I didn't mean to take this word for this. I'm sorry, but this chisaron, this lack, is because, in other words, this need for something which is ungepasht, forget, it's not pushing. Those complicated Pesachs of making travel arrangements and packing suitcases and going on planes to faraway places to have, what someone was describing to me last year, they had so much food, they had a barbecue chalamay. They had a name they made where the oil was on chalamay one night. I forgot the name. It wasn't nice. It was like a fresh mania, something like that. Like a lush like that, tefres, chalamoid, chalamoid Pesach. But I can't even eat 2-3 days after Yontif. It's so hard because of all the matzahs and all the avodah, right? Fresh-a-mania, that on chalamoid night, 500 Jews pushing to go to a barbecue to get some shish kebab by barbecue Pesach night. What happened to the pashtus of being a Jew? Because if your Yiddishkeit is not the Yiddishkeit of the neshama, then you're looking always for something different, for something new, for something different, exciting, something epic, and you can't be happy with the same avoda. Ma avoda zayis lachem, macha Pesach, macha Purim. So people are already looking for Purim. 3 years there's going to be a Tisha B'Av getaway. You'll see. They already have Tisha B'Av lectures all over. That's also part of it. It's not enough to say kindness anymore. You have to have, you know, Tisha B'Av seminars, Yimayim, which is good because at least people will be busy learning. They're talking about kindness, not saying kindness. After 45 minutes of kindness, everybody's tired already, so we have to have now lectures about kindness. Lectures about the Churban. It's not enough anymore, there's a Churban. It's bad enough there's a Churban, now we have to have lectures about the Churban. All of this is because there's no time. See, it's not that you can't have the same fish in the same chayim. It has to be something different. Something different. And the whole inyan, this is only a tiny, tiny taste. When it comes to inyanim of taras mishpach, inyanim of beina lebeina, inyanim in the house, which only each person knows his inyan. And how, when it comes to the avoid of kedusha, of what people are looking chalila on the street to see things, they have to look for other things on the street, not what they have in their own house. They have to look, God forbid, in newspapers, on the street, the movies, to see something on the internet, to look. But there's no time. In their own life, they have no time. So they have to go always looking for something different. The nekuda we're learning is dafke, when a person's neshama is mezgala, when a person's able to live with his neshama, then dafke, those things that are the simplest and the most familiar have the most beautiful taste. The things that are simplest and the most familiar are the most beautiful. When you're out of touch with your neshama and you live in the world of the guf, and it's the things that are most complicated and most exotic, like the advertising. Turkey, the most exotic Pesach you'll ever have. Who wants to have an exotic Pesach? Don't you want to have a normal Pesach, a Haimish Pesach with your family? An exotic Pesach? What does it mean, an exotic Pesach? Why does someone want to have an exotic Pesach? What does it mean, b'chlal, to have anything exotic? What does it mean, exotic? Do you know that your fathers or grandfathers were looking for something exotic in life? All they wanted to see was the same face when they came into the house that day. They wanted to have the same thing on the table. The same face, the same thing on the table. I told you how when my father, how I inherited really good things I didn't take from my father that I should have taken. A lot of the funny things that a lot of the European Jews have. But my father, I said, my father, you go for shoes. So we went to buy to the shoe store. My father had a certain shoe store. He only went to the shoe store. My mother went with my sister. But I went my father to the shoe store. And my father would say, it was a Yid that owned the store. My father said, whatever they were talking in Yiddish, give him shoes. I wanted to see some other, you know, I thought I could look at that, I could have in the window on the thing there, different kinds of shoes. My father always brought me back for the exact same shoe. I wore the same shoe till I was married. The same shoe. One time, I got rishus from my mother to buy something different, and they came out with those hush puppies. And my father gave me a funny look, and they said something in Hungarian, and he left me alone. I know my father said, "What is he? What do you wear? What's he wearing?" But when I went for my father for shoes, he would buy shoes for me and for him, and he'd say, three pairs. Same shoe, we'd try it on, he'd say, three pairs. I still buy shoes like that. I go and I get two pairs, three pairs, to last 30, you know, for a few years, the same shoe. You don't need anything different. Dafka, it's pashut, and it works, that's just a marshal. But of course, when it comes to people that we love, it's so much more important. When a person is living with his neshama, then all he needs in life are the kudos, pshutos, pam achar pam. That's what he wants. Simple and repeated. When your life is not with the neshama, then all you want is complicated, exotic, and different. New. And that's when it comes to davening, when it comes to everything, when it comes to learning. It's so hard now for people to chazer when they learn something. It's the hardest thing to chazer something. You learn it, the Daf Yomi is the number one best-selling thing by Jews, by Rosh Hashanah, right? Thank God, Joseph, you don't have to chazer it. You really do. But what is it that's such, if somebody would try to sell Masechta Yevamos, forget about the Daf Yomi. We're making now, in Madison Square Garden, a new Masechta Yevamos crusade. You're not going to fill up the garden. Why is it that the Daf Yomi is such a gewaldige thing? Because you never see the same blot until 7 years later. Bye-bye. You sit back, and some Talmud Chacham says over, and you look a little bit, and you hear a little bit, and it's gewaldig, and you say, bye-bye. Tomorrow's a new Gemara, an exciting Gemara. Tell me, you just learned this week's equation. You learned seven blot Gemara Kleinigkeit, seven blot. The whole time you in yeshiva, you didn't learn that. Seven blot Gemara. Spend Shabbos night, Friday night, chazering the Gemara. Chazer the Gemara. Go over it. It's not geschmack. It's not geschmack, the chazer. It's not geschmack. This swam could sit on the shelf, and the only time they come is on Thursday. They can come onto a table Thursday at 1 o'clock. Whatever it is, 12 o'clock, to chazer something, chazer. And by our, listen, I'm telling you that by our grandparents, it was pumfakir. The sweetest thing, I see this by my father, is chazar dafka. Dafka the chazar. Takes that. The old chumash, the old thing, macham, macham, macham. Because when you live in the neshama, it's pshitus and chazar. When you live with the body, it's Harkava, complications, and something new, something different. So we're going to, it's very late, but we're going to talk, we're going to talk about how to be mechazik, this union of Tamu Ruchi Tov Hashem, to have a chush for the Baruch Shalom's Metzias, and to be able then to live in that world of Pshitas, the language of the Neshama and Chazar. So we'll continue, Mitzvah Shem, next week.